In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Actually, because we're running behind the schedule, we're running late. That's why I'm just going to take 50 minutes now, and then there will be another English sermon after the gospel. So, in these 30 minutes, we have two options. Either we're going to discuss any questions you have, like open discussions, or we can give you any lecture about the resurrection. So, what do you prefer? Question? But if you have questions, then. And if you have any questions, just for 30 minutes, you can make like open discussion. If you don't, Is that?
Most likely we just have a lot of
time. Like
I've heard someone say that faith is a gift, and I'm not sure exactly what that means. Maybe like a virtue, somewhat like patience is a virtue. And I think, particularly in this church, this is especially true. I think 99.something% of the people in the church are cradle Orthodox. You know? But I think, like patience can be learned. It's something that, you know, if you try, you can be more patient. I was wondering, though, is there any way, what ways might you recommend for someone to build their faith? I made a mistake. I picked up a book written by an atheist, and I've begun to notice that the more I think, the more a person thinks about things, actually, the more damaging maybe it can be to someone's faith. And it's funny because I'm also reading Anna Karenina by Lev Tolstoy, and I'm right at the point where the main character in there realizes that he maybe ought to think less and just live more and be content in living the way he has. But that's really what I'm looking for. I'm kind of at the bottom, I think. I'm looking for ways to maybe build my faith.
Like,
I think that's a very important question. How can a person build his faith? And in the letter of St. Paul to Romans, there is an answer to this question. St. Paul said, faith comes by Faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing. By hearing, the cover. Faith is built by hearing the word of God. When you read and you listen to the word of God more and more and more, it will build up your faith. There are promises in the word of God. So if you doubt it in the beginning, and then you will try it, then this will build your faith. That's it. Ask and you will receive. So, take the try this, and you will ask, and then you will receive. This will build your faith. So faith comes by hearing. That's number one. We need to hear and we need to read more in the Word of God. Faith also comes by personal contact with God, through prayer, through communion, through fellowship in the church. As Thomas Thomas was dealt in the resurrection of Christ. But when he came into personal confessions with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said to him, don't be not believing, but believe. And Thomas confessed and said, my Lord and my God. Another thing that helped the person to build his faith is prayer. One time the disciples asked the Lord, God, increase our faith. They asked the Lord to increase their faith. And the Lord told them, if you have faith, you can say to a mountain, to move from here to there and to be moved. And again here, God was increasing their faith. But through prayer, so God increased the faith. But you may ask, I'm sure some of you now are thinking and say, okay, we know that faith is a requirement of prayer. And you tell me, if we don't have faith, if we pray, then our faith will be increased. How can we pray while we don't have faith? You understand this? But the Bible, you know, I'm telling you, through prayer, your faith will be built up. But again, to pray, you have to have faith. So, how are we going to resolve it? It's resolved in Mark chapter 9. Do you know the story in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9? There was a man, and this man had a son. And this son was demon-possessed. And he took him to the Lord and said to him, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, to the Lord, yeah? And when he saw him immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Here the Lord is questioning his faith. Do you believe? If you believe, everything is possible to him who believes. Listen to the answer. Because it's a wonderful answer. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. المؤمن أعن على الإيمان. I believe, help my unbelief. Because the Lord here requires faith for answering his request. And the father quickly exerted himself to find that he doesn't have faith. But again the Lord asking about his faith. Does he believe? So the answer he was very wise as he said to him, I know I don't have enough faith. So, although I don't have enough faith that you can heal him, but I am telling you, I believe. And if there is unbelief in me, you can heal my unbelief. I believe help my husband. And I think if we are going through this stage in our life in which we are doubting, or the devil, Satan, is tempting me by putting many doubts in my mind and in my heart, I think we can cry like his father and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because it is only you that can help my unbelief and make me believe and make our my faith grow in you. And there's another point here about the thought and the mind and the faith. Is there a conflict between thinking and believing? And as you said, sometimes maybe we need to stop thinking and just to live our life. Actually, there is no conflict between thinking and believing. But believing is above and beyond our thinking. So it is not a matter of conflict. Conflict means this or this. No, it's not conflict. But it is. The faith is above and beyond our mind and our thoughts. And actually one of the early church fathers said, if I understand everything about God with my limited time, I will not believe in Him. Why? Because this means I can limit God in my limited mind. If I can understand everything about God perfectly with my limited mind, this means God is limited. And I can comprehend Him. In the Gregorian liturgy, we say the non-comprehensible. Nobody can comprehend God because He is unlimited. You know the story of St. Augustine, when he was trying to solve some theological problems with his mind, and he couldn't. So he was so tired, and he fell asleep. And in his dream, saw a little boy standing at the ocean, and he dig a little hole in the sand, and then trying to move all the water of the ocean into this little hole. So St. Augustine went to this boy and told him, what are you doing? He told him, I want to move all the water of the ocean into this hole. Well, then you cannot do this. Are you crazy? Do you believe that you can, you know, move all the water of the ocean into this small hole? So this boy was an angel from God. So he told him, that's what you are doing, trying to do. You are trying to put God, the unlimited, the non-comprehensible, into your mind. And then St. Augustine woke up next day with this great lesson. God is unlimited, infinite. We cannot comprehend everything by God. But we can believe it with our heart because we sense it. We believe the existence of God. We believe the resurrection of Christ. We believe that God is the creator of all the world. Maybe if you want to enter into a lab to prove the existence of God, maybe it's hard. But through the manifestation that we see in the creation, we can say that yes, God is existing through the nature, through the universe, through all, you know, His presence in the whole creation. So to build my faith, faith comes by hearing. So we need to read in the Word of God more and more. Faith comes through personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to be with Him in the church, you know, and through prayer. And faith also can be built through prayer. We ask, and when we ask, we will receive, and this will increase our faith. And we can say, God, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm not sure if this thing helps with the dead boy. Other questions?
One of the family members asked you, the Zephyr during the 50 days, they said, how come you don't do it before, after the release of recovery of the Zephyr? How come you do it? How come you don't need to cover the court?
This question is a very logical question because we say in the cover of the altar in Opus Farim, this symbolizes the stone, not the stone, the stone, yes, the stone on the tomb, and then this little the piece of cloth. Is the seal on the stone. So if that is the stone and this is the seal, then logically the procession and the enactment of the resurrection should be after this, not before this. But in the Feast of Resurrection, in the religious Feast of Resurrection, we do it before this. This student maybe doesn't know that on Good Friday, we bring icon for the Lord Jesus Christ with a cross and we bury it. So as if we are creating another tomb. So there are two things here going together. The liturgy in which we have the bread and wine covered with this big cover of Sfarim, and we have on the side the icon of the Lord Jesus Christ with the cross buried, and this is symbolizing, you know, the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need just to separate in our mind between these two rituals. So there are two rituals going together here. The ritual of the enactment of resurrection, and we use for it the icon of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the other ritual is هو بتاع ال divine liturgy. In the enactment of the resurrection, we remove. There is also another stone we put on this icon. So we remove the stone and remove the seal, and we take the icon from the middle of the roses and spices, and that is how we do the enactment of the resurrection. But why we make two rituals going together? Because when we start the liturgy, the church doesn't want any interruption. And when we start a prayer of reconciliation, and then the liturgy of the believer, it will not be okay if we start to do the procession, because it will distract the people. So we do it before reading the gospel, and it prepare our mind when we listen to the Holy Gospel. And then when we start the liturgy of the believer, now we are concentrating and focusing on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the main theme or target of the divine liturgy. So there are two rituals going together in the same time. Yes. Okay, the seventh day is still going on. Now we are living in the seventh day. You know, the 6 days before, it was mentioned, and now it was the evening and beginning of the second day, the evening and beginning of the third day, and so on. But when it mentioned the seventh day, it didn't mention that the seventh day ended. So now we are living in the seventh day. The seventh day will end by the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the end of the seventh day, and then the eternal life will be the eighth day. The kingdom of God, the eternal life, that's the eighth day. And here number eight is the number of resurrection. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the 8th day of his entry to Jerusalem. He entered to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and he rose on the 8th day. Number 8 means a new beginning. New beginning. The week is 7 days, and then the 8th day is the first day of the following year. So, the eternal life is the 8th day, which is a new beginning. A new day in our life. That's the eternal life. How many people were saved in the Ark of Noah? 8 persons. Again, to start a new life. So again here, number 8, and a beginning of new life. How many miracles in the Bible about resurrection? 8. What are the 8 miracles of resurrection? The 8th miracle of resurrection. Yeah, the son of the widow of Nain. The daughter of Jairus. Lazarus, that's 3. Yes, and Peter raised Tabitha, the Gazala, from the dead. No, other than Jesus. And Sir Paul raised Eutychus, he was the 5. Father 3. In the Old Testament, these are 5 in the New Testament. No, he didn't. Ibn Arbab is circumcised, Elijah raised 1, and Elisha, his disciple, raised 2. So in the Old Testament, Elijah raised 1, Elisha raised 2, the Lord Jesus Christ raised 3, that's 6, and Peter raised 1, and St. Paul raised 1, that's 8. So again here, number 8 is the number of resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke with his disciples about his resurrection and his crucifixion and his burial. And then, on the 8th day, he took 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And what happened? Tagalli, transfiguration, exactly. And again, the transfiguration is to show them his glory. And this is the glory of the resurrection. So again, number eight here is the number of resurrection. So now we are living the 7th day, and the 8th day will be the beginning of our new life in heaven. Clear? Oh, طبعا القديس أغسطينوس هو إذا هو explain the numbers. يعني في كتاب عن الأرقام القديس أغسطينوس مدلول الأرقام في كتاب المقدس. Yes.
You're the only person I've ever heard say it. And I've listened to a lot of people. You're the only one who said about these words that we ought to feed the hungry, children, homeless, clothing, naked, and so I was just wondering if you could give us a few examples of some of the other churches that you've got along the lines.
We are trying to do services either in the motherland of Egypt or here in America. For example, in America here, we have a group now in Dallas, a group of youth. We start to help with the habitat, building the houses for the homeless and we start to help with this organization, and actually our youth very excited doing this. Our other groups, people visit Muslim, the orphanage or the sick people in the hospitals and try to read the Bible to them, or take some gifts, on the Feast of Resurrection or the Nativity. In Houston, some groups start to do this, and also I think in the human age. we don't keep this like this. Yeah. Also, we send many, we have a committee called Social Service Committee, and through this committee we are trying to help many needy in Egypt. Maybe you heard about the victim of Bush last year, with a Muslim skill, 21 Christian. And many people contributed and saved money and saved clothes and medicine, you know, to this chief. We have also some smart medical society, being composed of all the physicians and devices. And they are quite helping the, both in Egypt and here. For example, if somebody here doesn't have insurance or he's a newcomer, we're trying to help him not get the treatment that he needs and the medication. And some of them go to Egypt and go to Africa as they do surgeries or further poor treatment. We sent some medical equipment to Christian hospitals both in Africa and in Egypt. So there are many activities like this. to say the truth, it is not only our diocese, but global, you know, America. Last month, in the diocese of Los Angeles, they were doing lunch for the homeless and for one of our Catholic churches was hosting them, you know, and the people go, and for that in Phoenix, Arizona. Our youth helped there to feed about 300 homeless meet together, you know, every Sunday, and our youth helped with other organizations to provide these 300 homeless with food. So, we try to encourage the youth everywhere to participate, because that's what the Lord said in Matthew, when chapter 25, he was hungry and he fed me, I was prison, and he was green, and he was sick, and he told me, I was in prison, and he was fed with me. And that's the spirit of this thing, to be manifest in charity of these. Actually, I sent them two letters to explain to them our success in Egypt and to tell them what are the requirements or the limitations that you want to do. I sent this two letters just last week and I'm waiting for their response. I don't know if you heard about the Naha, like in there was a bill approved by the Congress about establishing peer-to-peer programs to direct some of the federal funds to help religious, you know, people, you know, in the third world, or, you know, suffering whatever poverty or now. But I'm trying to apply for this. A few many channels, but some of our youth in Santa here are active in Coptic orphans. I don't know if you heard about that. You know? And the Coptic conference, it's based in Washington, but they are helping many, many Coptic in Egypt. I helped many priests in Egypt. Many increasing the work of this organization. How really they are helping thousands of orphans in Egypt.
Well,
and
I think our church is about to be closed, and so we don't need to be open. And also for the church to take a little instrument, we were able to visit a lot of churches and visit and do the orphan. So we take a tradition from the whatever international travel or whatever.
So some of the youth here also have the helping in Coptic orphans, and I forgot about the trip, the Orlando trip to Egypt. There are 4 days, can be, you know, 4 or 5 days, dedicating 4 days just for service and, you know, helping the need in the market. Any more questions? You will ask me again. But Shafarit commented, you need to finish eating in 30 minutes. Because we need to start in this part by 8.
Yeah.
What happened in the judge, he didn't condemn anybody guilty of murder. And the church opposed this judgment. So the general prosecutor is appealing the Hague Court. And at least now we are waiting for the appeal. They say that after. So at least the final judgment, not yet. نقول أنا لازم فك لقمة بس أتمني هم يتدي كين؟ نصر نتمنى مفتاوة للسنة نقول سبيل صنعة أمين نقول ميك سويل فريد ثانكسوي our father who art in heaven hallowed be thy name the kingdom come thy will be done on earth as in heaven give us the care of the heaven forgive us to stress this forgive us to stress the king of us leave us not in temptation but deliver us from evil one through Christ our Lord, for the kingdom, for our glory, for the coming. And now, God the Father, the grace of the Holy Spirit, Son, our Lord, God and Savior, Jesus Christ, communion, gift of the Holy Spirit, be with you all, go in peace, and the peace of the Lord, be with you all. Amen.